The beginning of Parsha Vayeshev appears to teach us a mundane historical fact. It says, "Vayeshev Yaakov the Eretz Muguri Aviv, the Eretz Canaan, and Yaakov dwelt in the land of his father's settlement, in the land of Canaan, in the land of Canaan." But what's the spiritual meaning of this pasuk? Could this pasuk be more than just teaching us about the travels of the Halakha Yaakov Avinu? It might actually be teaching us some actionable, eternally relevant spiritual lesson and spiritual paradigm. So the Mezritch Magid, who was the chief disciple of the Baal Shem Tov, or one of the chief disciples of the Baal Shem Tov, and the teacher of the Alter Rebbe, the teacher of the Baal Tanya, explained the spiritual meaning of the pasuk as follows. The Rebbe in Lakuta Sichas Chilik Aleph in the first Sich of Parshas Vayeshev gives over the Magid's teaching at greater length. The Rebbe tells us, if in Pasuk Vayeshev Yaakov the Eretz Muguri Aviv, the Eretz Canaan, on the Pasuk in Yaakov dwelt in the land of his father's settlement, in the land of Canaan, Taich the Mizrach Magid, the Mizrach Magid in the Sefer Oratory writes, Vayeshev Yaakov, as Yaakov is given, Ein Gesessen B'Yeshiva V'Akava. Yaakov entered a state, what does it mean, Yeshva Yeshiv Yaakov? That Yaakov entered a state of dwelling, of tearing, of delaying, of being involved, ba'aretz, in the land, in erdishkeit, in physicality. Tzulib vas hater esketan. What was the reason why it is that Yaakov engaged in physicality? Why did he primarily ground himself in the physical as opposed to the spiritual? In order to collect, then the word meguri, the Magid interprets as collecting, based on the cognate word in Mishlei Perek Yod, where in oiger v'kayitz refers to somebody who is collecting in the summer, collecting grain, collecting fruit. So why was Yaakov engaged in physicality in order to collect? The nitzayt sakdusha, the sparks of holiness velch kifinin zich, in the gashmi istikazachin, on zeder hoibinin to of Rishmain. He was meant to collect the sparks that exist in physical things and lift them up to his father in heaven. Chosh di shiva kov in eretz zirida. Although it's the case that this dwelling and delaying in the land, in physicality, is a descent from a great spiritual place, it's only a temporary descent. And only specifically through engagement with the physical world does one ultimately come to a state of elevation. And that's the meaning of the last word of the pasuk, Be'eretz Canaan, the land of Canaan. Canaan milshin mescher. Canaan could also refer to merchants or merchandise. The estate, like we learn in Sefer Zechariah Perek Yudalid, talking about Yemais HaMashiach, Zechariah tells us that at that time there will no longer be merchants in the house of Hashem. Amol, in the Amalekite site, and back in the day, it used to be the case that you had all sorts of people who were in the Beis Hashem Mamish, all sorts of people who were in the Heichal, who were in around the Beis HaMikdash, and they were busy selling goats, and they were changing money. And the Vart Zachariah is telling us is that in Yemais HaMashiach, Yiddishkeit is not going to be commercialized, and the Beis HaMikdash is not going to be a place where you exchange money, it's not going to be a place where you buy goats, it's going to be a place where you only focus on Yiddishkeit, it's a place where you only focus on Ruchnis. When Meschar feared Zich, as fear, Kit Bnei's Geld, Kidei Shpetu Tzufardinin, as if Yishteit, Yish Mephazer, Vnei's of Oit. So, a further idea behind this idea of Kenaini, Eretz Kenan, means that the reason why we engage in the physical world is to ultimately elevate the sparks of the physical world. And by elevating the sparks of the physical world, we reach a higher spiritual rank than we would have been able to achieve had we not been engaging with the physical world. And that's the meaning of that pasuk in Mishlei, that Yesh Mefazer V'Nosef Oid tells the Mishlei Yadalef that there's somebody who spends a lot of money, and thereby a lot of money is added to them. And the very simple meaning is that by making an investment, that by laying out money, sometimes you need to lay out money in order to get a very large return on investment. So in a similar sense, we need to leave our comfort zone of spirituality and enter the physical corporeal world in order to get a major spiritual return on investment. The real difference is, the lesson we learned therefrom is, a Jew shouldn't seek great things. We shouldn't be after rarefied spiritual experiences, very deep intellectual and philosophical pursuits. Intellect, philosophy, spirituality, those things are all important. But those should not be our ultimate goal. There's an Avodah Zarah saying, Tzunev Kleib. Your work is not to decide that you want to be a gadol, but rather it's to collect. It's to clarify and to elevate the sparks of holiness which exist within worldly things. And who are you doing this for? Aviv. Slib zayin father in himmel, for your father in heaven. Yisrael nimshulu ledvayr. The Medrash and Devarim Rabbah says the Jewish people, among other things, are compared to a bee. Ma dvayr, says the Medrash. Kol mash misageles, ein misageles labayla. Just as when it comes to a bee, whatever a bee gains, whatever a bee produces, it all goes to the bee's owner, it all goes to the beekeeper. In a similar fashion, everything that the Jewish people do, everything the Jewish people gain, is ultimately for the sake of their Father in heaven. I The idea is that we're not serving Hashem because we want to receive some sort of gift. We want some sort of prize. But rather, the entire purpose of your work should be for the sake of your Father in heaven. And in order to effect on yourself that you shouldn't be serving Hashem for ulterior motives, is that specifically through serving Hashem in simple ways. The way you serve Hashem is through very complex meditation. Or you serve Hashem through learning deep, deep zugas and shas, learning deep, deep into the night. It's very possible that that service of Hashem will boost your ego. It'll feed the beast. And you'll be serving Hashem in order to serve your ego. However, if you serve Hashem in simple ways, giving a little bit of money to tzedakah, as opposed to, meaning, of course, you want to give a lot of money. Meaning, even when people are not going to hear about your tzedakah donations, you give the money to tzedakah. You say tilim, you daven with a little extra kavana when no one else sees. By serving Hashem in these simple ways, that's not going to feed your personal self-image. It's not going to necessarily feed the way people perceive you. And therefore, it's more likely to be sincere. B'shas hirat sutan, b'tayid ninyan v'novan v'asaga, when a person is engaged in lofty matters of trying to understand intellectual Torah concepts, then it's quite possible that the person is going to fall into ulterior motives. But in order that a person's service of Hashem should be pure without ulterior motives, is asdurich avayda pshuta in yonim pshutim davke. That happens specifically through simple service of Hashem in simple things. That the simplicity, the Friedrich Rebbe told us, the Sixth Rebbe Lubavitch told us, that the simplicity of simple Jews is connected to the simplicity of Hashem's ultimate reality. We know from Torah, Hashem Echad, Yachad Chaylam Melech, we say in davening, that Hashem is Poshut Petachas HaPshitos. Hashem is absolutely singular. Hashem is not a composite, complex being. So therefore, only through connecting to simplicity does one truly connect to Hashem. And specifically, the Friedrich Rebbe says, the simple Jews who serve Hashem with a simplicity and don't necessarily have as complex a perspective, they are connecting to Hashem's deepest self. Azaychda, in a similar fashion here, The simplicity of serving Hashem with simple things and mundane things connects one to the simplicity of Hashem's ultimate reality. This is the virtue of accepting Hashem's yoke. And that means to do things out of a sense of commitment. Even if you do not feel in the mood of doing Achlas Sorachim right now, Achlas Sorachim is not your thing today, or you don't feel in the mood of davening Shacharis, you don't feel in the mood of putting on tefillin, the idea is you should do it anyway. For this reason, given that Jewish people are committed to doing what Hashem wants, even if they're not in the mood today, they're an ungriven yidden, b'shem tzivos havaye. That's why Jews are called tzivos Hashem, as we're in Shmeis, Perikid Beis, Pasmum Aleph, that the Jewish people are Hashem's army. The Ebishters are main. The Ebishter, which is Yiddish for Hashem's army, Varum, their Indian for Zalander is Kabel's. And that is because the idea, the objective of a soldier is to be committed. The soldier follows what he's told, he follows orders, even if he's not in the mood. On Dasadir Pshat, Yeshiv Yaakov, Beretz Bugoyov. This explains the meaning of the pasuk, which says that Yaakov lived in the land of his father's sojourning. As bechdei tzukum tzum aviv, that in order to arrive at his father, as in gansa avidu zolzayin nor for avish shemayim, in order that his entire service of Hashem should be only for his father in heaven, is dachdurich eretz meguri davke. That specifically happens through engaging in the physical world. Durich avidu pshuta, through simple service of Hashem, on chochmes and on pshetlach, without too much sophistication and too many explanations, and at such a time, a person sets aside all of their ulterior motives and connect completely to their father, to Hashem. Das is the unweisung of Yaakov Avinu. That's the lesson of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov at Kitan and Avayt Zabiru. Yaakov engaged in the work of clarifying the physical world. As Gagin Kin Charyon, and he worked hard amongst love and sheep. He worked very, very hard. As if he stayed, like we learned at the end of Parshas Vayetze, when Yaakov finally has enough love and he tells him, by day the heat consumed me, and by night the ice consumed me. And sleep left my eyes. Sleep was removed from my eyes. When Oyser Vani is given in them, Oich Tsarfen Guf. Not only was Yaakov's work mentally stressful, but it was also physically stressful. But from there, and based on this idea that Yaakov's Aveda was his work for Lavan was very spiritually strenuous. So the Alter Rebbe brings in Shulchan Aruch HaShemishpat. From this story about Yaakov, is Chacha Mensch, Hot Nitkin Shum Recht, Iber Zayn Eginim Kerper, Zu Schlagen Feinikinim. Although it's the case that a person has no right to abuse their body, Val the Kerper Gehet Nit Zu Im Nords Vavishter, because your body does not belong to you, but rather belongs to Hashem. Aber von des Vegin, but nonetheless, even though you're not allowed to hurt or abuse your body, Lut Seyrech, for some need, the Seyrech Salib Geld. So for money, which spiritually symbolizes the idea of engaging within the physical world and uplifting the physical world, Megman, you are allowed to put yourself in a challenging situation which is going to abuse your body, which is going to put your body under stress. Yaakov could have reasonably claimed, why should I travel from Charan? Why should I travel to Charan rather? It's true, Yaakov had admitted that he and Esav cannot peaceably coexist. Why not make an opposite arrangement? Why not, instead of Esav staying in Eretz Canaan and Yaakov running away to Haran, running away to Syria, why couldn't the events have been such that Esav would have been sent away to Haran, to Syria, whereas Yaakov would have stayed in Eretz Yisrael? He would have continued learning about the great spiritual masters, Shem and Aver, and would have been in the place of Be'er Sheva, the well of tranquility. Aber Yaakov at Cain Kashis Nitkefet. Yaakov didn't ask any questions. Yaakov didn't complain and moan and mourn about his lot. And Yaakov went out and he did his work of clarifying the sparks of engaging in the physical world in a manner of accepting the yoke of heaven, in a manner of commitment. And although it's the case that he did this in a state of commitment, in a state of accepting the yoke of heaven, you might think that if somebody's just acting out of commitment, acting out of resolve, they might be doing it, but they might not really want to do it. And they might be a little bit weaker in their performance to carrying things out. But no, says the Rebbe, Yaakov served Hashem. Yaakov engaged in Avodah Zaburah, engaged in the mundane world. There's Datz Ketan, but the Chayas and Simcha. He did it with life, alacrity, and joy. As it says that Yaakov lifted up his feet. And usually when the Torah says V'yisa Yaglov, it means a person was in a state of joy. So Yaakov joyously ran to fill his responsibility. And as a result of Yaakov going and engaging in the physical world, not only did Yaakov not have descent, not only did he not spiritually fall, nor Adriab, just the opposite. Mitosi Shlema, Chazal tell us that his bed was complete, meaning to say that all of his children came out well, all of his children were good, upstanding individuals who followed Yaakov's path. They followed all the things, all the positive attributes Yaakov brought with him from Yitzchak's home in Tachan. That's the meaning of the Eretz Canaan, meaning a term of finance. Canaan means merchant. Meaning to say that Yaakov worked to elevate all the sparks that he encountered by Lavan and all the sparks of holiness that he encountered in the case of Esav. And ultimately that allowed Yaakov's act of uplifting all the sparks that he saw in the physical world, allowed Yaakov to transform Esav, allowed Yaakov to hit Esav with a certain powerful spiritual energy, which caused Esav to transform from an enemy into a friend, to the point that Esav kissed Yaakov with his entire heart. And Canaan does not only mean that Yaakov became spiritually rich and that he collected all these sparks, but it further means Mesher Megashmius, that Yaakov engaged in financial work in this world. As there is Rehkivam, the great Sashirus, he became very, very rich. Sachmer Vifrir, even more than before he went out and engaged in the world. This is a lesson for every Jew. As Durich Dem Vayesha Be'eretz Megori Aviv is Be'eretz Kenan. That through dwelling in the land of your father's residence, then one is in Eretz Kenan, as we said for Mishlei, that there is somebody who spends a lot of money, who outlays a lot of money as a down payment, as an investment, and ultimately recoups it all and makes even more. Durichin Pizur Virida, through engaging in a sense of psychological scattering and descent into the physical world. Fardinter Zain Parnosin Ruchnias, on Zain Parnosin Gashmias. And descending into the physical world means that a person works hard to earn their sustenance spiritually and physically. Until they ultimately accomplish the goal of coming to my master and seir, which is Yaakov's closing line to Esav. Through engaging in the work of uplifting the sparks, of clarifying the sparks of holiness that exist in the world, in a manner of commitment, but not mere commitment, but also a commitment with a certain sense of liveliness, and investing the innermost part of oneself in this work of uplifting the physical world, we effect the coming of the particular Mashiach, meaning to say that we manifest a Mashiach-like reality, we manifest a Messianic reality within our own experience, in our own existence. And this manifestation of a specific messianic existence, of a personal messianic existence, is a preparation for the global messianic coming. Which is symbolized by the Pasuk in Evadia, which says that saviors shall go up on that mountain of Tzion, the Mount Zion, to judge the mountain of Esav. Let's summarize this. Parshas Vayeshev begins with the words Vayeshev Yaakov be'eretz Megori Aviv be'eretz Kanan. And Yaakov dwelt in the land of his father's habitation, in the land of Canaan. Now, at first glance, this pasuk seems to be telling us some historical facts about Yaakov Avinu's journey. But the Rebbe explains that there's actually a much more timeless, deeper spiritual message that we can learn from these words, Vayeshev Yaakov, and that's all based on a teaching of the Mizritch Magid, who was a prime student of the Baal Shem Tov and the teacher of the Alter Rebbe. The Magid explained, what does it mean, Vayeshev Yaakov? Vayeshev refers to engaging in a state of hisyashvus, in a state of settledness, in a state of groundingness. So Yaakov became grounded. And this is a story about every Jew, that every Jew is meant to become grounded, ba'oretz, in the material world, in the physical world, in the world of the mundane. Migure. The Magid interprets the term migure to mean to collect, based on a pasuk in Mishle, which says oyger b'kayitz, one who collects in the summer. So the idea is that Yaakov is engaging in an act of collecting, where every Jew is engaged in an act of collecting while they are grounded in the material, while they're grounded in the physical world. What is it that they're collecting? They're collecting what the Arizal called the nitzoitzis, the sparks of holiness which inhere in everything in this world. And then the word Aviv symbolizes that why is it the case that we're engaging in the physical world to collect these sparks? It's for the sake of our Father in heaven. It's for the sake of Hashem. It's to make Hashem's world a beautiful place and to do it in a state of commitment to Hashem's vision. And we do this all the Eretz Kenan. We learn in the Navi Zechariah that the word Kenan refers to a merchant. It refers to engaging in commerce. So Be'eretz Kenan means in a state of commerce. And the idea is that just as very often in business, you'll put a lot of money out, you'll lay out money in order to ultimately make back a big return on your investment. In a similar fashion, it's our job to leave our comfort zone, to leave our space of personal spiritual tranquility, and instead to be committed to serving Hashem and engaging in Hashem's purpose in this world of specifically engaging in the mundane, specifically engaging in the lowly, in order that we ultimately elevate the lowly and the mundane. Through elevating the lowly and the mundane, we'll be able to achieve a much higher spiritual level than we'd ever achieved before. So the Rebbe has just reinterpreted or just given us a deeper layer of meaning in this pasuk of Vayeshev Yaakov be'eretz Megori Aviv be'eretz Kenan. Vayeshev means being in a state of settledness. Yaakov refers to every Jew. Be'eretz refers to the physical world, the first mundane. Megure refers to collecting the sparks of holiness which exist in the mundane. Aviv refers to our Father in heaven. And Kenan tells us there's return on investment. The Rebbe adds two closing points to this idea. The first is that it's very important to specifically be involved in the mundane, to specifically be involved in the Eretz, because sometimes we're involved in the Nyanim of Shemayim. By learning deep ideas in Torah, and we learn a lot of deep ideas, or maybe we engage in very complex meditation and davening, we can feel overly proud of ourselves, become prideful and haughty. But sometimes by engaging in the simple and the mundane, you won't feel haughty and you're more likely to connect to Hashem through serving Him in more mundane ways. The ways in which other people won't notice and seem to be mundane, seem to be a chore, those mitzvahs are sometimes the things that connect us most deeply to Hashem. And finally, says the Rebbe, that this idea of Eretz Kenan, of having a great return on investment after engaging in the physical world has a certain messianic tinge to it. First of all, in the Navi Zechariah, the idea of a merchant of Canaan is associated with the ultimate messianic redemption. But furthermore, says the Rebbe, through engaging in your personal journey of uplifting the sparks of holiness that you encounter in the mundane things in your own life, you personally enter a state of personal redemption. You live an uplifted, better life, a life that is redeemed within your private sphere. And the more people who have a redeemed life in their private sphere, will it be the case that the entire world will achieve redemption?